prayer today is a special prayer because we're commemorating the Book of Esther and the holidays go along with it. So this is actually Mordecai's prayer, which comes from that book. O Lord, Lord, the King Almighty, for the whole world is in thy power, and if thou hast appointed to save Israel, there is no man that can gainsay thee. For thou hast made heaven and earth, and all the wondrous things under the heaven. Thou art Lord of all things. There is no man that can resist thee, which art the Lord. And now, O Lord God and King, spare thy people, for their eyes are upon us to bring us to naught. Yea, they desire to destroy the inheritance, and hath been thine from the beginning. Despise not the portion which thou hast delivered out of Egypt for thine own self. Hear my prayer, be merciful unto thine inheritance. Turn our sorrow into joy, that we may live, O Lord, and praise thy name, and destroy not the mouths of them that praise thee, O Lord. It's a pretty powerful prayer, actually. It's much longer than that, but that's the first part. Well, let's go on to praise. We've got Psalm 146, which is a very suiting psalm for praise today.
But if I The Lord shall reign forevermore. Thy God, O Zion, He thy God, reigns to all generations. Praise to, praise to the Lord, give ye.
That is a really intense song. There's a lot that can go into that psalm right there. You know, oftentimes when we deal with afflictions, I say this for those who have dealt with afflictions recently, God talks about how He straightens out those who are bent over. That's a spiritual statement in the psalm, but whenever we suffer physical things, it brings it a lot more to our mind as to how God straightens us out in an upright way whenever we're out of line, so to speak. And that's an amazing thing that God can use our pain for His glory, and we can give thanks for it afterwards. And that's something I notice in that psalm that's oftentimes not thought about, to praise God for even adversity, so that we know that He's near to us. Our next psalm is Psalm 119. This is part 18. Tzadi, which is the Hebrew letter that has a TZ type sound in Hebrew, Tzadi. This is to the tune of Talis.
For thou art most righteous, thy judgments are upright. Thy testimonies thou commandest, most faithful are and bright. My zeal hath even consumed me, because mine enemies. Thy holy words forgotten have, and do thy laws despise. Thy words most pure therefore on it, thy servant's love is set. Small and despised I am, yet thy precepts not forget. Thy righteousness is righteousness, which ever doth endure. Thy holy law, Lord, also is the very truth most pure. Trouble and anguish have me found, and taken hold on me. Yet in my trouble, my delight, thy just commandments be. Eternal righteousness is this, thy testimonies all. Lord, to me understanding give, and ever live I shall.
My absolute favorite line in all of Psalm 119 is 142. Thy righteousness is righteousness. One of them simple truisms. But only if you know God. We also have Psalm 11 in the lineup here. This is the tune of Sing Man. We haven't sang this in a while. Maybe we should do a hum out on this one.
Yeah. portion of their cup doth unto them pertain. Because the Lord most righteous doth in righteousness delight, and with a pleasant countenance beholdeth the upright.
Well, we're going to go to our scriptural readings. We have Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to have it's just going to be a short read, and we'll have an extra one from Deuteronomy 25 today, and then we'll have a New Testament reading from Romans chapter 11. All will correspond to the date today. So we are in Exodus 17. We're going to start in verse 8. And we are going to read to 16. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto
Joshua,
choose us thou men,
and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill.
And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi.
For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek, from generation to generation. And so let's go to Deuteronomy 25 for the same exact account, only in Deuteronomos, the second giving of the law by Moses. And we'll start in 17. So Deuteronomy 25:17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth of Egypt.
How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and feared not God.
Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go to Romans chapter 11, our New Testament reading today, which are out of the order of what we would do on a regular week, just on account of the day. So Romans chapter 11, we're just going to read from 1 through 12. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith to Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying,
Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life.
But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more work.
What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day.
And David saith, let their tables be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them.
Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to prove them to jealousy, provoke them to jealousy.
Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?
And so we'll end here in reading and we'll move on to Bible study. Try to keep those thoughts in mind. Very important. You may be seated. So, I'm going to end right there and we'll take a short break. I know I need a glass of water, and then we will continue with the worship service and have our fellowship meal.
Not lightweight anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we stand and sing Psalm 12, and we will finish our worship today. Very pertinent song, actually, for the storyline.
Hath Lord begot the godly man, doth daily fade away,
and from among the sons of men, the
from the apocryphal reading of the very end of the book of Esther. So this is the closing statements that are found in the very end of the book.
which are not contained in our King James Version, so that's why I put it here in the loose leaf, because most of us don't have a ready handy copy. For Mordecai of Judah was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Judeans, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed.
Then Mordecai said, God hath done these things.
For I remember a dream which I saw concerning these matters. Nothing thereof hath failed.
A little fountain became a river, and there was light, and the sun, and much water. This river is Esther, whom the king married and made queen. And the two dragons are I and Haman.
And the nations were those that were assembled to destroy the name of Judah, and my nation is this Israel, which cried to God and were saved.
For the Lord hath saved his people, and the Lord hath delivered us from all those evils, and God hath wrought signs and great wonders, which have not been done among the nations.
Therefore hath he made two lots, one for the people of God and another for all the nations.
And these two lots came at the hour and the time and day of judgment before God among all nations. So God remembered his people and justified his inheritance.
Therefore those days shall be unto them in the month Adar, the 14th and 15th day of the same month,
with an assembly in joy and with gladness before God, according to his generations forever among his people.
And so this is the very ending of it, of the book. It says, in the fourth year of the reign of Ptolemaeus and Cleopatra, Dositheus, who said he was a priest and Levite, and Ptolemaeus, his son, brought this epistle of Purim, which they said was the same, and that Lysimachus, the son of Ptolemaeus, that was in Jerusalem, had interpreted it. And so basically, this happened during the time of Cleopatra, pretty well-known person in history, that the scriptures of Purim were totally translated for the people to have, and they found, you know, writings that were the same as what we keep. And so, Christian, could I have you ask a prayer for today for lunch and we're ending?
Dear God, thank you for another day of your grace and mercy. This is the day that you've made, and we do rejoice in it. Thank you for the Sabbath, Lord. Thank you for the Feast of Purim, and thank you for the Book of Esther. And just thank you for the insight that you gave Brother Josh, and that we can meditate on what was said, and meditate on the history of that goes all the way back from Genesis. And Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to eat. That you bless it and help to nourish our bodies. Help us have a fellowship that would be a pleasing aroma in your nostrils, God. Lord, please help us to bear fruit for your kingdom. And help us in all the areas that we need help in with work. I pray you continue to bless us in our work, whatever that may be. Help us to become more skilled in it. And even work harder, God, and give us some wisdom and knowledge on how we should deal with time, God. Make us better stewards of our time. And Lord, for the upcoming Passover that's coming up, I just thank you for all the people that you have put in their hearts to come. I pray that you give them safe travels. That you would encourage their hearts these next upcoming days, and that it would just be a great time of festivity and a great time of meditation on your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and that the fellowship would just be such a blessing and encouragement, God. I ask this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.